Hello, and welcome to Teaching, Learning, and Everything Else,
a series of conversations with innovative educators at colleges and universities across the country and around the world.
This podcast is produced by faculty and staff in the Center for the Advancement of Teaching and Faculty Development at Xavier University of Louisiana.
And now let's talk about teaching, learning, and everything else.
So thank you for joining us for the university podcast, Teaching, Learning, and Everything Else. I'm Stacey DiMaggio. I'm an associate professor of chemistry at Xavier University in Louisiana, and I am joined today by Mary Beth Gassman, who is a professor of higher education at the University of Pennsylvania. And she also serves as the director for the Penn Center for Minority-Serving Institutions. Dr. Gassman is a national expert on diversity issues in higher education, and she focuses specifically on studying historically black colleges and universities as well as minority-serving institutions. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
Great. Well, I guess our first question is, what made you decide to get into this particular field of study?
Well, that is an interesting question. The main reason why I ended up doing this kind of research and caring, I think, so deeply about issues of opportunity for all students is, quite frankly, I grew up with a father who was extremely racist. And I started fighting back against him pretty early, and that kind of pushed me toward wanting to learn more about African American history and also different histories of people of color. And then as I was learning about African American history in particular, I started to learn about black colleges and just the contributions that they had made, their importance, the way that they had built the black middle class, the way that they were deeply responsible for so much of what has taken place in the country. And so I wanted to learn more about them. And I felt actually very, very cheated by my education that I didn't learn anything about them, even though at that point I was enrolled in a PhD program focused on higher education, which didn't make any sense to me, why I wouldn't learn. And so I just started learning. That was back in 1994, and, you know, it's been over 20 years. So, I guess I got hooked, and I was just really, really interested, and my work started off mainly on black colleges, but then I've also ventured into learning about other minority-serving institutions.
Well, I imagine when you were studying this that you're seeing some of the challenges throughout history that minority students have faced when entering colleges versus their majority counterparts. I mean, what are some of the biggest challenges you still see them face today?
Well, I think that they face a lot of different things. I mean, a lot of students of color are from low-income homes and are first-generation students, not all. You know, a lot of the students at Xavier that I've met are second-generation students and sometimes come from middle-class homes. But by and large, at HBCUs overall, if we were to look at all of them, one of the things that we know is that they disproportionately educate low-income students and first-generation students. And I think one of the things that we know when that happens is that often students are dealing with financial issues, and they're struggling to pay for their books. They're struggling to be able to go home on breaks. Sometimes it's difficult for students to have their parents come for mm-hmm. graduation. So things like that. Then on the other hand, there's also students of color in general tend to struggle with, especially if they're at majority institutions, they tend to struggle with microaggressions on a daily basis. I mean, I think one of the strengths of sure. black colleges is that, you know, most of the time as a student at a black college, you are treated as if you are wanted and that you should be there. And you don't get the message that you're taking up space that could be for someone else. You know, there's this belief that you are that you have value, and I think that's incredibly important. So I would say that's something. I think that some, and I would place the emphasis on some, is that some students who go to HBCUs are also what I would call cheated by the K through 12 system. So they might have gone to a K through 12 system that did not serve them well, and so they might be faced with having to catch up. And I think that HBCUs also are known for being able to bring in students who might be struggling in some areas initially, but then bringing them up to speed. And you know, I think Xavier in particular is really, really good at adding immense value to its students. And I argue in my research, and I feel like I can prove this, that Black colleges in particular add considerably more value, because they're taking students from one spot to another spot, and it's a ways, right? You're really adding value. The faculty are adding value. The staff is adding value. At some institutions where you bring in students who, you know, by all typical measures are perfect on paper, I often question, well, what are we adding? You know, what right. Are we challenging people? And I think that's really important. I think it's really, really important that we add something significant. And I'm not sure if we're doing that with all students.
Right. Exactly. And you've sort of answered a question that I was going to ask you. It's a question that people ask me all the time about, you know, all these majority institutions are now focused on recruiting underrepresented groups. I mean, why do we still need HBCUs? And I think you've just given us the answer to that question. And the other, I guess, question I get that's sort of a semi-criticism is, well, so I guess I'll ask you this, is, you know, once they leave an HBCU, you know, here they've gone through their higher education in this nurturing environment where they're not the outsider, and then they integrate into the workforce. And so people say sometimes, well, are you creating, you know, giving them a disservice for that? And what would your answer be for that? That they have to now work into a diverse workforce.
Well, I guess one of the things that I always point out to people is that all HBCUs are operating in the larger world, right? They're all operating in the larger world. They're all surrounded by communities that tend to be majority white, even if it might not be their community right around them. It's going to be, you know, like you guys are in New Orleans, and there are plenty of white people there, you know, and there are lots of people of color. It's very mixed. And so they go right back into that. And I think that Black colleges many times provide sort of a sanctuary within that community to have the most robust learning. But I have never met students at Black colleges who had trouble kind of acclimating to the larger world. I've always found that they're typically pretty good at it, because they have to be acclimated to the larger world overall. I mean, I've never seen a problem with that. I will say that I've seen the opposite, which is that I have seen I've had a lot of Black college students who have become my PhD students here at Penn. I've probably had I might be up to maybe 35, okay? And I've had lots and lots of Black college students who've become my master's students. One of the things that I know is that by and large, they are very prepared for graduate school, and they've sort of built up like a Teflon layer around them that helps them to be really strong and helps them to be secure in an environment that can be, you know, a little difficult.
Right.
And so, because sometimes these environments can be very harsh and very difficult. So, I would say I've seen the opposite, that I think that students get very prepared.
Great. And just to be fair, you know, we've talked about certainly a lot of the advantages for students mm-hmm. to consider going to an HBCU for college. But are there any, I don't want to call it a disadvantage or maybe a competing advantage for them, you know, entering a traditional institution versus an HBCU?
I would say that it depends on the kind of preparation that they are getting at the HBCU, and it probably depends on the HBCU. So if you're coming from an HBCU that emphasizes writing, I think that you're going to be better off at a majority or like a more selective majority institution, because most of these institutions would emphasize writing. Mm-hmm. I have found that if I've had students come from less selective HBCUs, so Xavier would not be a less selective HBCU, it would be a selective HBCU, right? Mm-hmm. So when I have had HBCU students who've come from less selective HBCUs, and they have had some trouble with, I would say, some of the more intensive writing. On the other hand, so that can be problematic. But the majority of HBCUs that send a lot of students to graduate school tend to be the small liberal arts HBCUs. And you know, I would consider Xavier to be one of those. And so the majority of the schools that send students, they tend to emphasize writing, so that usually is okay. I would say some of the larger state HBCUs, and this would be the same thing with a non-HBCU, okay, because there's just not always the same kind of emphasis. When you go to a large public institution, they don't always have the same emphasis on writing as a small liberal arts school. And so I see that across the board, but I have noticed it with some of the public HBCUs. And I think that just has to do with the emphasis, right? It depends on how you're being graded in classes. I will say that from the small liberal arts HBCUs, I don't have that at all, because I think there's a lot of close interaction around writing and critical thinking with faculty. So it probably has to do with the size of the institution and the fact that you have huge classes at bigger institutions.
Right. And, you know, there are dozens of HBCUs in the country, and I think all of them sort of have a specialty what they're tailoring their students to do. So most mm-hmm. of our students at Xavier want to go to either medical school or pharmacy school or graduate
Absolutely.
School predominantly in the sciences. And so, you know, we tailor our curriculum to get them to meet that goal, whereas others have different populations of students that, you know, tend to gravitate towards one goal or the other. Mm-hmm. And so I'm glad that you said that about the writing, because, you know, we're always talking about, and people are asking us as well as other universities, you know, why are you so successful? And when you're looking, so what is it that you see in addition to the focus on writing that makes successful HBCUs, ones that prepare their students for the next level of their life? What are they doing particularly well?
I think that's a good question, and it's a good, it's always a good aim. I would say that the successful HBCUs, a couple of things. I think that they challenge their students to think beyond their region, that they do emphasize critical thinking skills, like deep critical thinking skills. You know, one of the things that I noticed when I came to Xavier is that your student, I'm not even saying this because you're interviewing me, but your students are some of the smartest students I've ever come across. They were so smart, they were so dedicated, and they were fierce. You know, they were fierce in terms of their wanting to be successful. And what I loved is that when we asked them why they were like that, they said that they felt incredibly supported by their faculty. So I think one of the things that successful HBCUs have is they have great faculty. You know, they have faculty who are dedicated, mm-hmm. who care more about the student than they do about their own advancement. Right? That they, mm-hmm. that they're not as, you know, a lot of faculty are me, especially at like where I work. Okay. So me. And instead, I mean, I'm just being honest, but when I was at Xavier, I just noticed this wonderful collegiality around student learning. And I tell people about it constantly because it was mind boggling to me. I was like, this is amazing. I wish I had gone into a school like this or a college or a university like that and had that kind of experience, even as a student. And it'd be great to have as a professor as well. So I would say that the faculty, I think having supportive students success kinds of systems in place is very important. Mm-hmm. That's another thing that, you know, I noticed at Xavier, is that the students all told us about all the different kinds of things that you had in place to ensure that they succeeded. And that's incredibly important. I do think you need to make sure your students are thinking globally, you know, and if you can build in study abroad, that's great. And don't let them be afraid of study abroad. Right? Because mm-hmm. sometimes people are afraid of study abroad. One thing I noticed about Xavier students, a lot of them came from Louisiana, right? And so sometimes they might have never been abroad. You never know. A lot of them were from smaller towns. To encourage them to do that, I think, is really important. I think that getting them involved in undergraduate research is really, really important if you want them
Absolutely.
To go to graduate school. And I saw that. I saw that over and over. I mean, well, you know, because I told the New York Times this as well, but when they did that wonderful story about Xavier, I think Xavier's programs in the sciences are they're models for everyone. You know, we visited 10 HBCUs, and they were all great. But I will tell you that no one is doing what you're doing. And you know, I also visit lots of majority institutions, mm-hmm. and no one has worked out kind of a system the way that you do. And your success, I mean, you can just see the success. So I would actually say that institutions need to be doing what you're doing, and that you're the model. That's what I would say.
Well, that was really not the intent of my question, but that's very flattering.
I know, but that's how I feel. So, yeah, that's how I feel. So.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I will say this, that when you work for a mission-based university, you know, people are attracted to the university for that mission. So it does tend to have a lot of, you know, nice, dedicated people that gravitate towards the university, and that helps. And, you know, people have asked me many times over the years at conferences, you know, how can we do this? How can we do this? And in all fairness, you can have the most altruistic and dedicated faculty, but when your entire university is not dedicated to that mission, it does make it a bit more of a challenge. I mean, we have
it
the
does.
Support that every office on this campus has the same mission that the faculty do, and I will say that does help. So not to knock other universities, sometimes it can be more of a challenge when the whole university is not centered on this very focused mission.
Yeah, no, I agree. I would definitely agree.
And, well, you know, and also, you know, thank you for the flattering words. I didn't mean this to be why Xavier's
so
great.
Oh, no,
so great,
no, I mean,
I think it is
so
great.
I think you are. So. I think you guys are, and I'm not lying, so.
Well, I think the last question that I would have for you is that, so Xavier, just thinking about our campus, you know, we have a pharmacy school that attracts a number of different students. And for an HBCU, I think we have a very diverse campus. And occasionally we have students that are not African-American students looking to come to Xavier because of our role in the sciences and because of our pharmacy school. And sometimes they're a little bit apprehensive about that. What would you say to a non-black student that's thinking about attending an HBCU?
Well, one thing I would tell them is that HBCUs, you know, are very diverse comparatively. If you look at HBCUs overall, you know, there's 13% white, 3% Latino, 2% Asian. They've got a large biracial population, a significant international population across all of them. So I think that they're very diverse. I also think that one of the things to keep in mind is that 60% of the faculty at HBCUs are black, but 40% are all other races. And that is not what you're going to get at a majority institution. You're going to get almost all white people being the faculty. And so I think the diversity is really, really wonderful. I would also say that I think that if they're interested in HBCU, they should look and see if it has the kind of curriculum that they want, and they shouldn't let the fact that it was, you know, that it's historically black deter them. I think that they should realize that you've got to look at the quality of the programs. Now, if I had I have a daughter who, she doesn't really care that much for science and math, but if my daughter liked science and wanted to be a doctor, I mean, I would probably send her to Xavier. I would send her to Xavier or probably Spelman, one or the other, because these are two institutions, and, you know, I'm white, right? So these are two institutions that have a proven track record for success, a wonderful track record. And, a much, mm-hmm. I mean, Xavier has a much better track record than most institutions around the country. So, mm-hmm. so, and I think you have wraparound services, you have people who care, so I would want, I would try to engage that. I think it's really important. I also would probably be really frank with someone and say, you know, why are you hesitant? Because it's a historically black institution. And what does, I mean, I would probably go as far as saying, what does that say about you? I mean, because there are people who are white, and there also are people who are black who don't like to use, you know, black doctors, black organizations, and I think that has to do with internalized racism, and not, you know, are the country believing, people in the country believing for a long time that if something is black, it's not as good as other things, and, you know, for mm-hmm. me, I've never thought that, and I also, every time I hear people say things like that, you know, because I hear people say negative things about HBCUs all the time, and they have no idea what they even are. I always come back and say, well, you know, where do you get that information, and what makes you think that it's not as good of a school just because it's historically black? I mean, that doesn't make that's racist to me. So, so right. That's my comment on that.
I think it's
got a little political on you, but
that's okay. Well, no, I think it's actually, I think it is a very good experience because some of our students who have lived their lives in predominantly white neighborhoods or went to predominantly white high schools, you know, it's maybe a different environment for them, but they may have these preconceived notions just because they've never been the minority themselves.
Yeah.
And I think it's a growing experience for a lot of our students. And you know, from what I understand, I mean, it works pretty well here. I don't think we have those issues. I think people integrate and are welcoming of each other very well.
Oh, I agree. And that's what we heard when we were there.
Mm-hmm. And we've also had many students who have done their bachelor's degree at another university and then have come to Xavier to take their pharmacy prereqs. And they have said, you know, compared to their science classes, when they went to perfectly good universities, they just felt like they had so much more support available to them. And so that support that we offer our students because of where most of them came from in high school, that support goes to everybody. And so I think that they find it to be a real advantage to have that kind of environment where we have so many support services for our students to make mm-hmm. sure that they're successful. And so we've gotten a lot of wonderful comments from people who actually graduated from other universities and then came to take some pharmacy prerequisites at Xavier. So
absolutely.
So I think that's great, too. So, I mean, that was really all we wanted to talk about today. I mean, there's much more we could talk about, but I think for today, I really do appreciate you offering your insight on this and for our global audience as well.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. I do it anytime.
Great. Well, have a great day.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this installment of Teaching, Learning, and Everything Else.
For more information, please visit our website at cat.xula.edu.
That's cat.xula.edu.
Until next time, keep on teaching, learning, and everything else.